chapter 14, please. Romans 14.
I just want to say, announce we have a friend that got saved today.
Amen.
Yeah, from exactly a friend of Bowen Alicia's.
Praise the Lord. Good. Romans 14. We're down to verse 20. Instructing them on various things here, and he says, for meat, and especially the dealing with weaker brothers and so forth, for meat destroy not the work of God. Too often times, just we've let little things be big things. Don't destroy the work of God for little things. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And don't jam your personal convictions down someone else's throat. Verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Man, what a strong verse. And when you stop and you think about everything in our lives, do we do everything by faith? If not, it's sin. Pretty convicting, huh? Look at James 4, verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Everything we are to do is to be done by faith. There's three times that the Bible says the just shall live by faith in the New Testament. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. It's actually quoted also in Habakkuk where it says the just shall live by faith. His faith. So there's a slight distinction there and a difference in that, but in the New Testament it's the just shall live by faith in those three passages of scriptures. We're to ask in faith, James chapter 1 and verse 6. We're to ask in faith nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. We're to walk by faith, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're to stand by faith, Romans 11:20 and 2 Corinthians 1:24, and then of course Hebrews 11:6. I forgot it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, he that doubteth is stand to feed. For whatsoever not is not of faith is sin. Hebrews 11:6, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we ask in faith, James 1:6?
No. Romans 6 for the last point.
The stand by faith was Romans 11:20. Let's go ahead and just look at that. We're right there. Romans 11:20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. And then also 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. 2 Corinthians 1, 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers for your joy, for by faith ye stand. And then, of course, Hebrews 11 says, 6, that it's without faith it's impossible to please him. Any questions or comments on any of that? Romans 15. And what he seems to be doing now is just kind of summarizing what he's already covered. Verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ Jesus pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. He starts out and he says, the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 2. Well, I'll start in verse 1. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, and bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The strength theme seems to be a spiritual strength that he's talking about here. Excuse me, go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is the strong. So he says, then we that are strong, the spiritual strength, the knowledge and ability to use the scriptures properly and so forth, bearing the infirmities of the weak, bearing the one another's burdens. That's our responsibility. Think about those around us and their needs. And it says, verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. To be looking out for the good of others, for the needs of others. And verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. He brings into play the example of Jesus Christ. So let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And you know, we think about the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. But that wasn't just a momentary thing. That was the rule of his life. As it was not seeking to please himself. Think about that. For 33 and a half years, everything that Jesus Christ did was not for himself. Chapter 4, John 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. A completely unselfish life, a life completely lived for the sake, for the need of others. And he says, we that are strong need to look out and care for the weaker ones around us. And so oftentimes, and especially in our society, it's more of an evolutionary outlook that we have. The survival of the fittest. Instead of the fittest helping the weakest to survive. That was the attitude that Jesus Christ had. And we'll touch on this a little more just a moment here, the next verses 5 and 6, but let me stop there for any questions or comments. Sure. We would need a lot of government things or a lot of other things as well. And, I mean, think about the first century church. That's what they did. They had all things common. Barnabas, a wealthy man, it was not commanded. He did that voluntarily. Sold all his goods. Says, here guys, help the weaker ones out. But then you had Ananias and Sapphira. Who did it for the acclaim and not out of the right spirit. What a difference. And you think about how just in your own mind, think about how you would consider the two of them. Barnabas, used of God, trained Paul, Ananias and Sapphira, struck dead. What a contrast. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Anyone else? Look at verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. As he's talking about our caring for others and ministering to others here, the weaker ones and so forth, he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The record of the Scriptures, and from his perspective, it's everything that came before this, but for us, it's everything, is written for our learning. So he says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look at John chapter 20. Emphasized a number of times in the Scriptures. John 20 and verse 31. let's start in verse 30. As John's concluding his record of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and to believing that you might have life through his name. So, in another place he says the world couldn't contain all the things that Jesus Christ did. But he says there's a purpose for what's been recorded. You ever wondered why did God didn't tell us certain things? Had a reason for it. But more importantly, he had a reason for what he has told us. It's written for our learning that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So what things is he talking about? Let's start in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. He's talking about fleeing the wilderness and passing through the Red Sea. That cloud that was set there to separate the children of Israel from the Egyptians who were pursuing them. And he calls it a baptism here. So this is the context of what he's talking about. But he goes on, he says, verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Well, that's, as they're wandering in the wilderness, they got thirsty, they didn't have any water. God says, Moses, strike that rock. And he struck it. He says, water came out. Later on, they came to that same rock. And he says, Moses, speak to the rock. Because they started grumbling and complaining again. He struck the rock. That's what cost him the privilege of entering into the promised land. Why was it so wrong to strike that rock? Because that represented Jesus Christ, who was struck one time for our sins. Struck once, and the blood came out to wash away our sins. Now we just speak. He doesn't need to be struck again. Moses struck it again. That rock that followed, that spiritual rock that followed them was Christ. Let's go on here, verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. An entire generation from 20 years old and up perished in that 40 years. Now these things are in samples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. There's that end sample again. It represents something to us, to teach us something. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And now the verse. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. It's not correction. It's judgment upon them to be an example to us. God says, I've given you a record. I've written some things down for you to teach you. They were judged. And how God judged them is to teach us. That's what the record's for. And samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world is come. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. An example to us. Acts 17:11, they were told to study, or they did study and the scriptures to see that the things that they were told were true. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Romans 4:23. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. He's talking about Abraham and how righteousness was imputed to him and so forth. But he says, I recorded this not just for the benefit that Abraham received, but for us also, verse 24, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. God's got these multiple layers of purpose in what he's doing. He's dealing with individuals in a particular period of time. But he's also taking what he's doing with them and then using that to be an example to us. For our learning, for our instruction, for our correction. Whatever the case may be. God provides all these things. And then back again, let's look again, verse 4 of chapter 15. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So every word of God is pure. Every word of God has a purpose. Every word of God, we can learn something from that thing. That we through patience, threefold now, patience, comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Probably one of the most difficult things for us is patience. But we go to the scriptures to get comfort in those times when we need to be patient, to look forward to the hope that is set before us. That's Rod's struggle right now, Rod Stevens. He's tired of being trapped in those, you said something about the trapped in the bones or something like that?
When she said he felt trapped in his house, there's a song by Daddy Rambo that says, bars of bones hold my soul, but these doors of clay are going to burst wide open when the angels set my spirit free.
And it's those times of patience can be difficult. And God says, come back here. Because the patience and the comfort of my scriptures are your hope, our strength, to help sustain us, to help to get us through those difficult times in life. Any questions or comments? Let me back up just a moment. There's one verse that I overlooked in the last section there, verses 1 to 3. We're talking about the example of Jesus Christ and how he gave himself and looked at others and so forth. Look at Acts chapter 20. This verse is oftentimes used in a specific context, and it probably really does an injustice to the text. Chapter 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things, how so laboring we ought to support the weak. So this fits in the context of what we've just been looking at here in Romans chapter 15 and before. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, And if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, this is the only time you have a direct quote of Jesus Christ outside of the Gospels. It's right here in Acts. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And so oftentimes, and I've been guilty of this too, we only use this in a very narrow context of giving of our monies. But it's much broader than that. Giving of ourselves. And that's the context of Romans chapter 15. The giving of ourselves. The example of Jesus Christ. Let's go on to verse 5 now of Romans 15. Romans 15 or verse 5. Now, he's just talked about the purpose of the Scriptures, the patience to cover the Scriptures to give us hope. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The goal, our purpose for existing is to give glory to God. He says this is what we need to strive to do. And in the strong caring for the weak, God is glorified. As we strive to live as Jesus Christ lived, God is glorified. As we draw strength and comfort from the Scriptures in those times when we need hope and patience, God is glorified. But he says, verse 5 again, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one to another to Christ Jesus. If somebody grants you something, what does that mean? They're giving you something, right? So he's saying that God would grant us to be like-minded one toward another. That comes from God. Everything that we're looking at here is contrary to my human nature. Because man in his natural element is all about survival of the fittest. This is God's plan. And we need to put the flesh to death, to kill it, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and allow God to grant to us the proper attitude and perspective on things. He says, grant you to be like-minded. So it comes from God. It comes from God through the Scriptures to be able to do this, to care for the weaker, to lift up the fallen, to nurture the young, to minister to those who are hurting, and to deny myself. To let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, being found in fashion as a man. I forgot the rest of it there. Okay. God grant us to be able to do that. I believe this church is pretty good about that. We need to continue to do that, though. So we see different ones struggling and suffering and hurting, to be there to encourage them and help them. And again, you think about the example of Jesus Christ. I just wrote down a few that just kind of came to my mind off the top of my head about this. Some guys show up with a woman. This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. What do you think we should do? And what did he do? Just kneeled down, wrote in the sand. Didn't even pay attention to him. And they pressed him. And finally he says, okay. They quoted the law to him. You know, the law says that she's to be stoned. He said, fine. You that's without sin, go ahead. Throw the first stone. And it says they went out one by one from the oldest to the youngest. And it was just Jesus Christ and the woman standing there. And remember what he said? Where are thine accusers? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He wasn't there to condemn her. He wasn't condoning the sin, because he told her not to do that any longer. But he cared for her. Those other guys were just using her for their own advantage. The crowd's hungry. Give them something to eat, guys. He was sensitive to the needs of people around them. And even though his disciples had just gotten word that John the Baptist had been beheaded, and they're grieving that, and they've been out ministering as well, when they came and got the news about John being beheaded, and they'd had not time for themselves to stop and get a bite to eat. He says, you know what? These folks need to eat too. Let's take care of them first. The example of Jesus Christ. The maniac of Gadara. Everybody's afraid of him. Everybody runs away from him. The Lord went to him. Ministered to him. The woman with seven husbands. The woman at the well. Ministered to her. And Zacchaeus, the tax collector, he ministered to them. And sometimes we get too wrapped up in our own thing. And we don't see the needs of others around us. And he says, verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is glorified when we give of ourselves sacrificially for the sake of others. That's completely foreign to our culture today. It's me first and too bad for you. That's not God's way. We need to strive to do it God's way and not our own. Questions or comments? Verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. How did he receive us? Like he received the woman at the well, the maniac of Gadara, the woman taken in adultery in the very act, the hungry multitude, and so many others that he encountered throughout his 3.5 years of ministry. And he says, receive one another as I have received you. Any questions or comments? I'm going to stop there tonight. I don't want to get off into the next section just yet. So let's bow for prayer. Lord, we see this, but sometimes it's difficult for us to follow through with it in our own individual lives. Help us, God, help me to learn to be more giving, to be more sensitive to the needs of those around me. To be more concerned about their need than my own. What's best for them and not what I want at this particular moment. God, may, as we do this, may Jesus Christ be seen in our lives, and may you be glorified in the doing of this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.